just while the helpers are taking up the offering, I can tell you about my week. It's been a bit of a rough week in my house because I kind of got the opinion, or I have the feeling, that every day in my house is Mother's Day. Not quite true. The reality is that I'm a normal husband who does the bare minimum he can get away with. I do the bare minimum that I think that I can get away with. Well, this week, I didn't get away with it anymore. Because Leanne came up to me and said, I need to have a chat. And when Leanne says, I need to have that chat, and the eyes glaze over, I either need to run or listen. So I couldn't get away, so I had to listen. And Leanne said, Paul, our relationship is coming to a serious inroads. I don't know why, Paul, but if you open one more litre of milk with another one open, we're going to have some issues. Oh, I didn't know this. Our relationship was in so much trouble just over the milk. And I don't know why, Paul, it just makes me so mad. Can you please, I've asked you, please can you stop opening the milk? Why do you do it, Paul? There's 8 litres of milk in the house, and there's 1 litre and 1 and 6 in another. What difference does that make? There's still the amount of milk in the fridge. No, no. And then I did something really silly. I said, okay, Leanne, I will do that. I'm so sorry. Then I said, is there anything else? Stupid, 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 stupid. Because then Leanne then said to me, well, actually, there is. Oh, she says, why, Paul, why do you put some? Sometimes you help, sometimes you're good, and you do put your clothes in the laundry basket. But sometimes they're scattered all around the laundry basket. So sometimes you help and sometimes you don't. Why, Paul? It makes me so mad, Paul. Oh, why? I said, well, because I throw them. And sometimes I get them in and sometimes I miss. She says, well, why don't you go and pick them up and put them back in? I go, I do, but I miss again. And sometimes this goes on for half an hour, and it comes again, and I keep missing. She says, all right. I said, is there anything else? Thinking there couldn't possibly. She said, well, yes, there is, Paul. There's one more thing. Why do you put the dishes near the dishwasher? Why don't you put them in the dishwasher? I don't put the chicken near the stove. You put them in the dishwasher, not near the dishwasher. I don't put the groceries near the fridge. I put them in the fridge. Paul, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? So I've had a rough week this week. But in all seriousness, Leanne, you're a cracker of a mother. Thank you for putting that with me. Yes. Let's not get too excited. All right, well, men, I know. Men, I know you will remember this because you would have done it, and some of your mothers will still be patching you up to this day. But men, do you remember when we were young and there was no PlayStations and we used to play outside? And we played some of the stupidest games, like murder ball, where you kick the ball in the air and whoever grabbed it, well, they were in for a pummeling. They would be literally murdered until they let go of the ball and someone else picked it up. Or games like brandy with a cricket ball. Or when we used to play stupid games, like I remember there was 5 of us would sit around the bull ant's nest with 1 thong each, and we would hit that bull ant's nest till someone got bitten. The first one to get bitten loses. Perhaps, men, you used to play a game like this.
I can't believe we're doing this.
How do we always let Lenny talk into the stupidest stuff?
Remember the rule, whoever stays in the chair a little longest wins.
No, I don't. Yes.
What? Whoever stays the longest.
And a 1. And a 2.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Go!
I don't see it.
Where is it? I lost it in the side.
can believe it.
And mums, you would go, that is so stupid. What is the point of that game? It is so stupid. Well, mums, it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There is no point. It's boys being boys. There's no point to the game. There's no point. And where I came from, trash talking formed a really big part of the game. You had to be able to run your mouth. You had to be able to trash talk. And if you found a wound in your opposition, you would peel that open mercilessly with your wounds. To survive, you had to be able to talk trash. But where I came from, there's two words you never said. Two words that would bring an abrupt halt to the game. Two words you could not say or a fight was going to break out. Two words that if you said you want to be able to fight or you want to be able to run or you want to be able to do both. You could tease a person about his brothers. You could tease a person about his dad, anything. But there's two words where I came from that you never said. And that was your mama. Because isn't it funny in society that all our cultures that we treat our mothers with such respect, and so we should. Do you know that in America, they sell more cards and flowers on Mother's Day than any other day of the year, including Valentine's Day? Which makes sense because you haven't got a girlfriend to buy flowers for, at least you can buy flowers for your mum. And do you know what? No matter what we do on Mother's Day, no matter how much we spend and what we do, it will never be enough to repay our mothers for what they do for us. I thought there'd be a few more amens to that, so I'm going to say it again. No matter what we do on Mother's Day, no matter how much money we spend, it will never be enough to repay our mothers for what they do for us. Yeah. Mum, I thought you'd be... Mum, that was your chance, Leanne. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about motherhood. What makes a magnificent mother? What makes a marvellous mother? What makes a mother a mother? And you all heard me say this before, that I really enjoy Mary, and the person from the Bible, the lady from the Bible, and what she did, and the stories about Mary. I really enjoy that. So this morning we're going to look at a little bit about the story of Mary, and what made Mary such a magnificent mother. And this morning, Lucy, in honor of her mother, is going to give us the Bible reading.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene.
So some of you have got very excited because you're thinking, small Bible verse, small sermon. What can he possibly pull out of one sentence? Well, I want to look at this verse this morning and I want to look what makes a mum's amazing. What makes our mums so good to us? And I love this definition because mums are God's gift to his children. I love this definition that the pain, the love and the pain that you carry for your precious child will always be woven into every thread you bring. It will fuel you to do things you never dreamed that you could. So let's unpack this verse together and have a little bit of a look at it. And if you can imagine when this verse was written, Jesus would have been on the cross and he would have looked down. And as the verse tells us, he saw his mum, he saw his mum's sister, Mary of Clopas, and his wife, Magdalene. So one of the first thing that I've got from this verse is that magnificent mothers will do it alone if they have to, with some help from their sisters. Is that magnificent mothers will do it alone if they have to, with some help from their sisters. Well, this Bible verse doesn't talk too much about Joseph, does it? It doesn't actually mention him at all. And in actual fact, Joseph's not mentioned again after he lost his child, Jesus, at the temple when he was 12. It was never spoken of again. So from this verse, we can ascertain that Joseph was not there. Social standards and history and the timing would indicate that it's more than likely Joseph probably wouldn't have been alive at the crucifixion. So we can pretty much assume that Mary would have been there on her own. But she had some friends. She had a mother's sister was there. The wife of Clopas was there. And Mary was there. And we don't even know who Clopas was, or what a Clopas was, but she, Mary, the wife of Clopas, was there. So it's most likely at this stage, Mary might have been a single mother. And we're going to get a little bit raw here this morning about our single mothers. Because to all of you on your single mothers that are doing it here on your own this morning, You might be a single mother because of a relationship breakdown. You might be a single mother because of an untimely death. You might be a single mother here sometimes because of the work commitments of your husband. And I know that we have a lot of people in our congregation where the husbands work away. And you have to do it on your own. Can I tell you, mums, this morning, here this morning, there's no judgment, only pure respect. All I can say to you is you have my full respect and my full admiration for doing it on your own. That is one tough gig. And you know, we put these sports people up on a pedestal and we call them champions because they can run really fast or they're born with the ability to catch and to throw, and we laud them for their courage and their bravery. And as a society, we've got it so wrong because the most courageous and the most talented people I know are the single mums. The true champions of our society are the mums who do it alone. And you know what? The ones who do it on their own, they will tell you of the supernatural help that they've had from God. And they will praise his name for the strength that he's given them. Single mums truly know what it's like to have God having their back. And you know what? The church, and I don't mean necessarily this one, the church as a body, good, mean people of that church have been terribly cruel with their words and their judgments to single mothers. And that's not right and it's not fair. And I hope you can find it in your heart this morning to accept my apologies for that. The Bible tells us that there were some other women there also with Mary that day. The cross Jesus to his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, in the child's life. So today when I refer to mothers, I'm referring to all the females who are a mother. A school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, an adopted mother, an auntie, a sister, a youth group leader, or any woman who's taken a godly role in a child's life. When others haven't stepped up, you've stepped up. Today I want to acknowledge those mums. Today I want to speak to the mums here today who've had to do it on your own. Not just the single mums, but the mums who have to do it due to work commitments from your partner. I also want to talk to those mothers and grandmothers here whose children are so far away. My full admiration to you and my respect, and I would like to see you just to keep going. Just keep going. And can I add to you that when for men who said they would let you down, that God will stand with you. Talk to him, follow him, and trust his teachings. The second thing that I've got from this verse is that magnificent mothers are loyal. That magnificent mothers are loyal. Can you even begin to imagine what it would have been like for Mary to watch her son die on that cross in such excruciating ways? And that's not even right. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Mary to watch her son being murdered in the most barbaric and shameful way? When we read this verse and subsequent verses, we work out very quickly that there was not a lot of people supporting Jesus at the crucifixion. Where were all the disciples? The disciples who promised to be there, to be honoured him, to never leave Jesus. Where were the disciples? Well, to be fair, they were in danger and it was dangerous times for them. But mum was there. Where were they? Let's forget the disciples. Where were the 5,000 that Jesus fed, that clambered all day to speak to him? Where were they at the crucifixion? But mum was there. Well, forget them. Where were the people 1 week earlier who lined the streets at Palm Sunday, who couldn't get enough of Jesus just 1 week earlier? Where were they? But mum was there. When everyone else had abandoned Jesus at the hardest time in his life, his mum was there. Mums are loyal. Mums turn up when no one else does. I want to talk to the mums this morning when everyone else gave up on your child. When the rumours are circulating about your child, when they fail, when they're dating the wrong person, when your child makes a stupid decision, when your child constantly frustrates you, when your child is addicted to things that you know they shouldn't be, when your child drives you bat crap crazy. Mums, stay loyal. Listen to Mary. Watch what Mary did. Use her example and stay loyal, because that's what magnificent mothers do. They stay loyal. And I know it's hard, but it can only rain for so long and the sun has to come out. Mary had to stand there and watch the crucifixion, but she trusted God and stayed loyal to her son. And look what followed from that. Well, you may ask, well, what can I do when I'm staying loyal? What can we do as a mum? What do mums do? Well, can I tell you there is no greater creature in God's creation than a praying mum. There's no more dangerous, inspiring, effective creature than a loyal mum on her knees. A praying, loyal mother can do anything. When all seems lost with your child, keep loyal and keep praying even when it all seems lost. Another thing that I learned from this verse is that magnificent mothers know disappointment. Is that magnificent mothers, they know what it's like to feel disappointment. You're nodding way too much back there, Mum. Magnificent mothers know what it's like to feel disappointment. I think you know the story of Jesus. Can you remember how Jesus came into the world? You've read the Bible, you've taken a few Sunday school lessons. You can remember how Jesus came into the world. Jesus was born into the world with stars, prophecies, wise men, all the trimmings, amazing prophecies. And I'm sure Mary, like any other child, any other person, any other mother, at the birth of her child, would have had magnificent plans in her mind for her child. She would have had mighty dreams for her child. She would have had these expectations of what her child was going to do. He was foretold to be a king. He was going to save the world. She, like all mums, at the birth of her child, would have had mighty plans. But a mere 30-odd years later, she is standing at the base of a cross, watching her son be murdered in the most horrific way. Magnificent mothers know disappointment. Sometimes mothers have to deal with the disappointment of the decisions that their children make. This is not what I had envisaged for my child. But there's some mums here today who know what it's like to deal with a child who makes disappointing decisions. There's mums here today who never thought they'd be a grandmother by the time they're 45. There's mums here today who never thought their child would not finish school or wouldn't go to university. There's mums here today who never thought their child would get that piercing or that tattoo or vandalise their body in such a way. There's mothers here today who never thought they would have to spend their life savings on legal bills. There's mothers here today who never thought they'd have to visit their child behind bars. There's mothers here today that never thought their child would keep their grandchildren from them. There's mothers here today who can tell you the exact number of hours they were in labour, for all the sacrifices they made for their child, only to hear their child look them in the eye and say, "I hate you, Mum." Magnificent mothers know disappointment. Mothers can be disappointed. Yet here Mary stands at the base of the cross because Mary knew the ministry of her presence. The ministry of her presence. That even though she knows disappointment, she is there. Anyone can show up for graduation. Anyone can show up for the good stuff. Anyone can show up for the stuff for good birthday parties. But magnificent mothers turn up and show up even when it's disappointing times, and they stay loyal to their child. Sometimes a magnificent mother has to deal with the disappointment and the emotions of ending up in a disappointing place because of the decisions of their child. This is not the life I dreamed for my child. This morning I want to talk to you magnificent mums who know disappointment. That the dreams that you had for your child has not yet come to fruition. That you're standing at the base of a cross with your child. And I implore you this morning about your mother's ministry of presence. A magnificent mother stands with their child even in the disappointing times. And mothers, there's going to be times when there's nothing you can do. There's no phone call you can make. There's no amount of money you can spend. There's no favour you can ask for that will fix this problem with your child. When you reach this point, know that God has placed in you a very, very special gift, mothers, and that is the ministry of your presence. Like Mary, just being there is all you can do sometimes. Another thing that I've learned is that magnificent mothers stand there even when it hurts. Is that magnificent mothers stand with their child even when it hurts. So we've talked about Mary, this magnificent mother on her own. Her sister, she was there with her sisters. She was loyal and she knew disappointment. But how it must have hurt her to stand at the base of the cross and listen to what people were saying about her child. In the preceding hours, the mocking from the crowd, the soldiers in their taunts, It must have hurt her. She would have heard, "I told you he was nothing. I told you Mary's boy would get into trouble if he didn't close his mouth. I told you Mary's boy was not who he said he was. I told you Mary's boy was not a king. I told you Mary's boy was a loser." But Mary was there because magnificent mothers stand with their child even when it hurts. I want to talk to the mums this morning who know when it hurts. When your child ends up in that place and it hurts, pray and trust God. When your child fails, pray and trust God. When your child is doing the things that you don't approve of, pray and trust God. When your child is caught red-handed and he is guilty, pray and trust God. Mums, when your child is hanging around those wrong people, grab that belt, pray and trust God. Another thing that I've learned is that magnificent mothers believe in the best of their child. Is that magnificent mothers believe in the best version of their child. Mary has to hear all these things being said about her child, but she refuses to believe it, and she believes in the best version of her child. No matter what is said at the base of the cross, Mary believed in the best version of her son, and her best version of her son saved the world. Mothers believe in you, don't they? Mothers believe there is more for you. Mothers believe that you can be great. Mothers believe that you as a child are better than this. Mothers believe that you are better than this failing grade. Mothers believe that you are better than being unemployed. Mothers believe that you are better parent than that missing parent that you might be. Mothers believe you are more than that. No matter what labels are placed on you, no matter what others think, a magnificent mother believes in the best version of you. And they pray constantly that the world will see the best version of you. Another thing that I've learned from this verse about magnificent mothers is that magnificent mothers will sacrifice of themselves for their children. That magnificent mothers will sacrifice of themselves for their children. You know, we discussed before of why the disciples were not at the base of the cross, that it was dangerous. Well, it would have been dangerous for Mary as well. Mary was a staunch follower of her son, and she was there at the crucifixion because she was happy to sacrifice of herself if that was necessary. Magnificent mothers know what it is to sacrifice of themselves for their child. Magnificent mothers know what it is to sacrifice for their child. Mary sacrificed heavily for her child. She sacrificed her reputation. She sacrificed her time. I'm sure she sacrificed a little bit of her sanity, but she sacrificed everything for her son. I want to talk to the mothers this morning that are sacrificing for their children at the moment. There's some mothers who gave up on their dream so their child could dream. Some mothers who took a job because they gave a better one away so they could be there for their child. I want to talk to the mothers this morning who know what it's like to desire to deny of themselves so their child can dare to dream. Mum, it's hard to make those sacrifices when we don't know what's going to happen, when we can't understand the moment right now. Mums, it's hard to make those sacrifices when we cannot see a return on our investment. But mums, one day, you'll be able to look back and it'll be all worthwhile when you see your child graduate from school. Mums, one day the sacrifice will be worth it when you look back and they get married or they bring you grandchildren. One day you'll look back and it'll be great and you'll be look at your child as a responsible, caring human being. It will all be worthwhile when you can look back and see that your child is making a difference in the world. Mums, that sacrifice will be all worthwhile that day when they move out and start paying their own bills. Mums, the sacrifice will be worth it one day when you see them showing God's love, compassion to others. Mums, I know it's hard right now, but one day it'll all be worthwhile. Mums, can I tell you that the best investment you can make is to invest in your child? The sacrifice in your child's life is the best investment that you can make. One day, you'll be able to look back and smile at the investment in your child's life when you see what's come to fruition. So this morning we've looked at what a magnificent mother is. But a magnificent mother will do it alone if she has to, with some help from her sisters. We've talked about a magnificent mum is loyal, that a magnificent mother knows disappointment, that a magnificent mother will be there even when it hurts, that they believe in the best version of their child, and that they know how to sacrifice of themselves. And you know, all those markers that we've just talked about this morning, mums, well, they're pretty hard. None of them are easy. None of them are entirely enjoyable. All of them may take you out of your comfort zone. All of them are tough and take commitment. But there are people in this room today because of a magnificent praying mother. There are sons and daughters all around the world in church today because of a magnificent praying mother. A praying grandmother, a sister, a mentor, a school teacher, youth group teacher. We're all here today because of a mother who put us first and herself second, who prayed for you when you didn't even know she was praying. Mums, when you find yourself in that dark place, when you find yourself in that place where it's really hard, remember to pray, and that you don't have to do it alone. You have your sisters. That it's okay to know disappointment, mum. To stand there with your child even when it hurts. Mums, to keep believing in the best version of your child. And that mums make sacrifices, that your investment will come to fruition one day. We're going to do something now, church, that's going to take you a little bit out of your comfort zone, mums. But we have lots of time and there's no hurry. And there's going to be some people that are going to come into the room and help you now. So if you're a mother, a grandmother, a stepmother, a loyal sister or a loyal auntie who's had any sort of influence in a young lady's life as a school teacher or youth group leader, I'm going to ask you, and there's heaps of room, I want you ladies to come forward, please, and just stand around the front here. And we're going to pray for you. We've got two things to do. So I know this is going to take a little bit of time and it's going to put you out of your comfort zone, mums, but don't make me come down there. We've got some helpers. They're going to come in now and help you come down to the front. There's heaps of time, ladies. There's some beautiful young men who are going to help you. So, ladies, I want you to come down the front, just along the front here. There's heaps of room. We can go all the way around the wings. And I want you to stand looking to the congregation, please. So your children are going to hold your hand and they're going to stay with you at the front. So, children, can you stay with your mum and dad? Stay with your mum. Okay, mums. There's heaps of room. So we want to spread around the wings. We can go all the way down to the back. There's heaps of room. And we can come up on the... If you're happy to come up on the step. And ladies, you can come up on the step if you're able. Julia, Cassidy. Okay. I know we've got lots of us down here. Okay. Sorry, Paul, that's not going to count. Okay. Okay, everyone, that'll be fine where you are. We'll just stand there in the wings there. Everyone can just turn around and face what's left of the congregation, please. Okay, we're now going to do two things. So, ladies, you have to be quiet now. Yeah. The men said you have to be quiet. Not me, I wouldn't say that. Okay, ladies, we're going to do two things for you now. So the first one we're going to do is our senior pastor and our senior elder, he's going to come up and pray for all the mothers in our church. After he has finished that, please stay here because we've got one more thing we're going to do. So Daryl, if you could pray for our mothers, please.
Let's pray, everyone. Father, we thank you for all these women and all these families that are gathered here. Lord, first I want to pray for those for whom Mother's Day is painful. For some, because our mothers haven't been the magnificent picture of motherhood that Paul's just talked about. For some, it's painful because their mothers are absent, they're no longer with us, and we feel the pain because the relationship was good and they're not there. Lord, if Mother's Day is painful and we're feeling that, Lord, be for all of us our comfort. And Lord, through your Spirit, help their minds and hearts to be at peace. But Lord, we do thank you for the mothers here and the ones that have made so many sacrifices, the ones that have been so loyal, the ones that have put their heart and soul into this job we call motherhood. Lord, we thank you for their sacrifices. We thank you for what they have been through for us. We thank you for the nights that they have spent rocking a crying baby. And all the washing and the wiping and the mixing and the stirring and the hugging and the patting and the disciplining and the holding. All the jobs that our mums have done. We thank you for the gift of time that our mums have invested in us, for the investment that they have made to teach us. Lord, for stay-at-home mums and for working mums and those who have a combination of the two, for their flexibility, for their time that they have poured in, we thank you. And Lord, we pray you give each mum strength to see, even in the mundane tasks, something of eternal consequences is happening. We just pray that you'd help them to see, particularly young mums, that the most radical, the most world-changing things may be happening under their roof. Lord, may we as a society never undermine the significance of what mums do. We pray, as Paul talked about, especially for single mums who have that dual role, for whom they just have extra responsibilities and the amazing challenges that that brings. We pray for those who've never had the honour of having children themselves and just pray they can still be big sisters and aunties to the church family. Lord, we pray for the gift of strength, because we know mothering is a tiring thing, and Lord, would you be their daily bread and their living water to give them strength. Lord, pray that mothers would know that they don't have to be perfect. That they don't have to be the typical social media mum that has everything together, but even in their weaknesses, they can teach their children your strengths. Lord, we love them. We love the special women who have nurtured us, who have helped us, who have invested in us, who believe in us when other people don't. We know the power of a praying mum. And we thank you for all these ones who have gathered today. We are blessed as a church to know them. And Lord, would you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
So stay there, ladies, please. Just one more thing. If you're above 12 and not a mother, can you just go and sit down with Pa or somewhere in the seats? Just down here, please. Anyone who's over 12, stay with one more thing. Okay. No, you stay. All right. Okay, men. This is the last thing. You've now got, remember, they can see you. We've got one more thing to do, which is going to take you a little bit out of your comfort zone too. But what I want everyone else to do who's not up here, I want you to look at the ladies, and we're going to show our appreciation just by simply standing and giving our ladies a big clap. Go stand up, boys. They deserve it. Thank you, mothers. That was very nice. Okay, just before we go, the children who came in from Sunday school, you're going to head back out, so we'll just let them go first. And then, mums, you're allowed to go back to your seats now, please. Thank you, mums. Just saw it there. Thank you, mums. I actually thought I was going to have to come down and chase you out, so you've done very well. But thank you, mums, for coming this morning. I hope you have a great day for Mother's Day. I hope you know that we do all love you and really appreciate you. The musician's going to come up now. We're going to sing our last song.